Welcome to the Building PA Podcast, the voice of the construction industry throughout Pennsylvania. Here are your co-hosts, Chris Martin and John O'Brien.
Hello, and welcome to the Building PA Podcast. I am co-host John O'Brien from the Keystone Contractors Association, and I'm feeling good today. It's another great day in Dillsburg, Pennsylvania. Life is good. The weather looks good. We have an awesome episode today. We recorded some really good episodes today, and I'm with Chris. I'm looking at Chris Martin. How could life get any better? Chris, how's it going today?
I love it. How can anything get better? If only my wife would say that, right? Only we could get so lucky. But hey, everybody, this is Chris Martin, and I apparently am captivating to John O'Brien. But I'm with Atlas Marketing, and you can check us out at atlasstories.com. And today we have a topic that I think is near and dear to everybody's heart. And it's always a question that I hear a lot when I'm speaking or at conventions and those type of things, which is, how do I make my safety program better? How can I take my safety program to the next level? And we have the guy to talk about that today. And with us today is Frank Baxter. He is the safety director for Construction Risk Partners. He's also on the advisory board to IUP safety program. He's travels around all over the Northeast and talks to other colleges. And he also teaches at Temple University. So we definitely have the credible guy today with us, John.
Yes.
Welcome, Frank.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, John. It's great. It's great to be here. And it's pretty exciting. I know that I've been following your podcast, and I'm pretty impressed how it's evolving. It's pretty impressive.
Well, thank you. I know I'm ready to go to the next level. How about you, Chris?
I'm telling you, I've spent a lot of time with Frank, and great guy. He is definitely going to take us there. So
awesome.
Excellent.
No pressure.
John, you asked me to join the podcast. So I put some thoughts down on really taking your safety program to the next level. We hear that a lot. But I wanted to put a little guide for top management. What does top management have to do to make this successful? And first and foremost, they need to want it to happen. They need to want their company to be better in their safety program. Too many times I hear the expression, I want things to change. I want to take it our safety program to the next level. But it's not going to go anywhere until you take initiative. You may have a great staff. You may have people behind you doing all the work. But if you're just your toes in the water in the whole idea and not fully immersed, it's going to be known, and it's not going to be successful. One of the things that the reason why this comes to pass is typically three reasons. First, you've just been on a very large project and you didn't get it. And some of the debriefings is your safety record wasn't that good. Your rates were low or high, depending on the way you look at it. And then you sit there and you think about that one. Wow. Or all of a sudden your insurance premium starts to rise because of your safety record. And the last, and the one that really drives the most, is a really bad accident and, God forbid, a fatality. This is when a lot of people think they come to Jesus and we're going to make some changes. But let me talk about what's it going to take if you come to that realism that you have to make some changes. The biggest thing they need to do is lead by example. You've heard this expression so many times, but what does it really mean? As the leader of a company, whether a CEO, VP of operations, project execs, it doesn't really make a difference. You need to be a leader. You need to act as a leader, and you need to be seen as a leader. And I'm going to break these down, starting out with, you need to be a leader. Because your position is in leadership, doesn't make you and teach you how to lead. It takes work. You have to be engaged in the process. I look at it where a leader needs some functional skills, sometimes called basic skills, to really start to step in that position, okay? Whether it's with a college degree, a degree in engineering, business, whatever it might be. That's really your foundation of your skill set. The next one, level up, is technical skills. Where do we get those technical skills? We get those technical skills through years of experience, on-the-job training, you get to the point where you can go to a project and can see if they're, you can do an evaluation of the work schedule and see, hey, if they're on or off, looking at the budget, all that kind of stuff. But the one I want to focus on is social skills, or sometimes called soft skills. And Chris, you mentioned about IUP, and I will tell you, every single time we have a meeting with the board, the big discussion is, how do we start preparing the next generation coming out of college, and where their biggest deficit is soft skills. Now, that's easy to say with a brand new college grad, but even leaders have soft skill issues. And I would like to challenge, as we're listening to this podcast, just think of the one person that's a great leader. Maybe there's an old boss. Maybe it was a coach. Maybe it was a Boy Scout master, whatever it might be. Just think about their traits. They were outgoing, charismatic, and they were caring. It's important to portray that, because people look up to leaders that have those characteristics.
So can you, as the consultant, work on that? Is it like peer-to-peer, get them in peer groups, or is it just one-on-one coaching, or how do you help in that area with an executive?
There is definitely a lot of resources available. There's a lot of, I always tout, a good example would be Dale Carnegie. They have some great programs to help develop people. I always tell people, if they're shy, they don't like any kind of public speaking, Toastmasters is a great organization to join, and you get a dinner for $10 or whatever, but they force you to go up and talk. And it help you develop yourself, if any sense.
Yeah.
Craig, what I really like about this is you talked about all of these things before, engaging in the process, improving your technical skills. But really what it comes down to is that foundational element of communication and helping, having that vision of saying, okay, I need to make this better. I need to improve this. This doesn't just, and I know we're talking about safety here, but this doesn't necessarily just focus on safety. It's all sorts, it's operational. It's across the organization, right?
100%. So I know a small company that has a relatively new CEO, and we're in a meeting together, and we're coaching him, we're talking to him. And one of the things they really wanted to do is broaden the engagement of leadership with the field and set aside some time to go to the projects, engage in the craft workers, see how they're doing. And it was, we had a great time putting this all together, but the CEO was in the room and he goes, oh, I don't walk job sites. I pay other people to do that. And I just sat back and I'm like, I didn't say it verbally, but I thought it, wow, you don't get it. Because those people that you pay someone to go engage with, those people they're engaging with are your people. They're your employees. And they look up to management when they come out and say, hey, what a great job you do. Just having a casual conversation. That people strive for that. They really do.
That's a great story.
And then just continuing on, you got to act like a leader. And think about, you put your pants on the same exact way that worker in the trench does. And if the rules are that person in the trench has to have all this PPE on while walking the project, guess what?
You do too.
You do too, exactly.
Yeah.
And I thought this was a thing of the past, but just the other day I was in a very large project. I was walking the job site. It was going to be the project superintendent, senior project manager, and then the project exec. The project exec was running late, so we said, all right, we'll get started, and you can meet up with us. So we're walking, and we're noticing some things and so forth, and all of a sudden, here comes the project exec down in the mud with us. I just stopped, and I looked at him, and I didn't say a word. Sometimes I have to be very respectful, right? But wearing a hard hat, that's great. No glasses, no high vis, and not even wearing work boots. So I normally sit back and I'll ask these guys, because I want them to do a self-evaluation, not just me telling them something. So I normally ask the team when I'm walking, saying, all right, I need you to grade your performance. And I'll ask them, I need to grade yourselves on a scale of 0 to 100 for PPE compliance. And they asked me, the craft workers, the subcontractors? I said, no, you guys. And they actually said, oh, I think we're at 95. And I said,
look in the mirror.
One third of you are not wearing the proper PPE. How do you get a 95? And they just said, it got silence. And they looked at me like, they gave me the yet. Yep, now we get it.
Yeah.
It's really, you got to act like a leader. It sounds simple, but it really does make a difference when you're setting the tone.
Yeah.
It comes down to performance. You have a role and you have to perform to that.
Yeah.
100%. I do remember a couple of years ago, I was working for a company that did a lot of pharmaceutical work. And if you ever worked in a pharmaceutical environment, they're very keen to watching your compliance with everything. And when things start to uptick, some incidents, they'll be very involved with, hey, how do we have a fix? So preemptively, we came up with an idea with a lot of hand injuries just to implement gloves. So it was 100% cut level gloves on the project and minimum cut level 3. And I remember one of our VP of operations said, all right, from now on, we're the construction managers. We don't do any work. He goes, we will always wear our gloves 100%. And I looked at him like, why? He goes, it really is setting the example and lead by example. And it really set my mind. It makes all the sense. When you're walking around yelling at a trades person for not wearing gloves using a power tool and you're not wearing them, you're just hypocritical.
Yep. Yeah. I have a story like that. I was still on a trade joint committee with half employers, half of the union guys. And we show up at one, and they said, oh, today's meeting, we have hearings. And I'm like, oh, what's going on today? And they said, some of the bad boys, some of the guys that got in trouble, we're going to call them in. So we're all sitting around the table. There's probably 12 of us. And the trades men and women are at the other one at a time. They come in. And the first one comes in. And they're like, okay, your punishment is you are using your cell phone while in this training center and you're not allowed. And I didn't know that because I didn't go to school there. I should know that. I should know every rule as a trustee. But I'm sitting there, my phone's in front of me, and I look, and everyone's phone is in front of them. This worker is getting in trouble. And then we gave him a warning. And then after he left the room, I'm like, hey, from now on, I'm not going to have my phone in this training center. I didn't know that was a rule until it was just pointed out right now. And I think we're all wrong for having our phones out and punishing someone right in front of them.
So. Yeah.
That's a tough one, but you're exactly right. And then just to round this out is you need to be seen as a leader.
Yeah.
Over time, there's so many difficult decisions that you make as a leader and you do a really good job at it. But as a leader and owner, you want to be in the position where those hard decisions are not too hard when it comes to enforcing safety. What am I getting at? A lot of times your best worker, your best superintendent, your best whatever is the one maybe not following the rules. And you sit there and sometimes you bend the rules for that individual. What they're not, the bigger picture is every single one that collects a paycheck from your company sees this.
Yeah.
And now the tone is, don't worry about it because Joe didn't get in trouble for doing it the other day. It's sometimes the hardest thing you'll ever do is take discipline on your best worker.
Yeah.
And you just have to stick to your convictions and be fair and consistent about enforcing the rules. I do want to tell you a funny story. And I just remember that during COVID, there was a situation and it was, you're going to laugh about this one, but I used to get phone calls going, hey, Frank, my cousin's brother's sister came down, was exposed to COVID. Can I come to work? I'm like, all right, hang on here. It was just crazy. Yeah, it was just crazy.
But I remember.
Yep. And there was one distinct time there was some exposure on a project. Wasn't that bad. And we had a crew of 8 people on the project. And that day was a project review. We were all going down there as leadership down to that project. And I remember getting a phone call. Do you think we should go down? And I said, time out. Our employees are down there working. If we don't show up, what kind of signal is that? Yeah. So I'm like, yes, we're going down.
Yep.
So it's just so important that just remember, most great leaders in construction, they get it. And it is amazing when you meet, greet someone, have a good conversation, and they get it. It's just, it is amazing. To be successful in this tight market, you need to be a leader. You need to act as a leader. You need to be seen as a leader. Why? Just take out recruitment and retention. It's going to get to the point where it's going to be in the workers' hands to where they want to work. A good leader sets that whole tone of the company that people want to work for you.
Yeah.
That really, and that you're not showing fake safety. It's sincere here. Also, it's going to help out your pipeline. Think about the next big project. Sometimes the difference may be, okay, something as small as looking at the safety record. And I've been on large projects that 25% of the bid calculation was safety. That's a huge amount. And it's also going to help the bottom line, because safety is, it could affect your insurance premiums, so it's going to cost you more money. So it ultimately could save you money if you really take your program to the next level.
Yeah, I'm a sports junkie. I see a lot of equivalency with sports and construction and lead by example, for sure. I see 100%, I see that. But could we maybe switch gears a little bit and maybe talk about the role of communication up and down the levels, and how does that play into this topic?
It really does, because again, I see time and time again where something's rolled out and it's done. The whole thought process isn't thought through, and it's done half-assed, if I can say that. And it's immediately noticed by the actual craft workers. So I have one client that rolled out a new safety app. And then following the rollout of the safety app, it was all these regulations and requirements that superintendent has to do so many inspections each week, and then project execs each month, whatever it might be. Then literally 2-3 months after it, we sat with each of the craft workers and all the project teams and started talking about, how's the rollout happening? And everyone was talking negative about it because it wasn't properly communicated how to do it. They literally were like shown in half an hour how to do this inspection, and they're still going, how do we do it? They didn't leave a resource about how to, if you have any questions, call this person or something like that. It wasn't rolled out correctly at all. But
I think the preparation component combined with the communication is such a key aspect of this. And what I really like about what you're talking about, Frank, today is it's the fundamental things. It's like, if you want to take your safety team, your safety program to the next level, simplify and focus on the fundamentals. And it's something I remember my dad telling me when I was young, whether I was throwing a football, throwing catch with him, or shooting a hoop. It was focus on the fundamentals, focus on your follow through, focus on all of those things that is so applicable to here. And I'm borrowing what John just said about being a sports junkie, but let's talk about that, the simplicity of this. Like, you don't need to spend a ton of money. You just need to focus, really.
You need to 100% focus. And I like how you're saying that, because too many times it's the slogan of the month we're adopting. So if you're going to start to implement stuff, you implement it for about a month and all of a sudden it switches. One of the things also is a good indicator of starting to get it, as we've talked about when good leaders get it, is that balance between production, safety, and quality. Because the worst expression I hate the most is safety first. Is it really? It's not first when you're behind schedule. It's not first when you have to do all this rework because quality sucks. So if you can keep that in balance, that is powerful. That's very powerful.
That's really good. So along these lines of taking your safety program to the next level, are there any other items that you have in your bag of tricks in addition to the fundamentals that we talked about? Is there anything else that our listeners might want to hear of or talk about?
Yeah, I would say is we didn't get to talk at all though about culture. And I'm a big believer in culture. And it really, again, you can go back to who's driving that culture, and it's going to be leadership. And after you start to implement culture and it becomes the norm, here at XYZ Company, we do this because we do this. So in the Philadelphia area, which is pretty amazing, is if you ever see a PICO lineman or PICO employee doing something, typically they're in a truck by themselves. They park the truck, they put their cones out, they put all their PPE on, and they do the work. You never, ever see them without that proper PPE, we'll say. But they're working by themselves. No one's checking on them. It's the culture there that you will do this. And that's really what we need to start driving in our industry, because we don't need cops to be watching us work and make sure we're doing it correctly. We do not need that. We need to be our own cop, our own coach, and make sure we do it ourselves. So that's probably the biggest thing. There's a lot of trends towards a cultural program, a behavioral-based program. You might hear that. There's also big trends on morning huddles. I've been on large projects and actually asked the superintendent, did the subcontractors on site? And he actually answered no. And I looked at him and said, this is your job. You need to control your job. And how to do that, maybe a morning huddle, not necessarily stretch and flex, but that is a trend. but it's getting everyone together, getting on the same page about what's going on today. It just sets the tone for the project. I'm also big on, if I walk to a project, I usually start opening my eyes a block. And the reason it block away is I'm looking for curb appeal. If I'm pulling up to a project that looks like crap on the outside, right away, I'm going to get the sense that there's going to be issues inside there. And tell you, when I start talking about curb appeal, people look at me like, what are you talking about? It makes a difference.
That's true. You're going to buy a house or you're looking for an office space or something like that. You don't want to be hanging out. You don't want to work or live when there's garbage everywhere. That's fair. I think that's a fair assessment. And that's key insight too, that people might start to look at.
Yeah. I told Chris's story before. It was a hospital project out in Pittsburgh. And the owner rep would show up once in a while and he'd say, I want these floors so clean we can eat off it. A clean site is a safe site. We want clean construction sites on my site. So it's respectful. It's respectful of your environment, respectful of your people around you. And
I did a really cool exercise. We were focusing on housekeeping, speaking of that. Housekeeping. And I remember that someone outside of our region came to come visit and they walked the project. And in my humble opinion, it was pretty clean. It could have been a little bit better. He walked around going, oh, this is not clean enough. I remember this superintendent, very respected superintendent in Philadelphia area. He goes, this is the cleanest site I've ever seen in my life. It's just perception, right?
Yeah.
So we actually did an exercise where we got every one of our superintendents, all 20 of them, and I had a series of pictures, good and bad. And they had to grade the pictures in silent. And then I replayed that same pictures and allowed them to start talking about what they thought was acceptable, not acceptable. I didn't say a word. All the superintendents talked and they calibrated each other because they all now understood what is the level of cleanliness. John, to your point, probably prior to that owner's rep walking, you thought maybe this is a pretty good job. And this owner's even asking for more.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question about that. Because I remember I right out of college, I worked for a general contractor. I did the marketing and PR side of things. And I would go and walk jobs with the president of the company. And every single time he would walk in there and he would have a helmet on and doing these things. And he would act, he was a leader. But every single job he'd walk into, he would automatically go in and find the somebody had a radio on and he'd just turn it off. And it was always funny. And I remember I'd get back in the car and I'd be like, why are you turning off the radio? And he goes, if they're listening to the music, they're not paying attention to what they're doing. And it was like, okay, now I got it. And that always stuck with me too. Like cleanliness is important, but also the mentality and how that fits into that. And I know that we're getting away from the topic here of taking your safety program to the next level, but I think all of these stories and excerpts help to that point, right?
100%. And I like to add, like you say, with walk with the owner, I want to talk about a pitfall I actually saw. So I knew this one, he was the top dog of the organization in the area. He would go to a project and we always met together. He would go out of his way and shut the hand with the lead superintendent and the project manager every time. But there was 10 people working there that worked for our company. And he wouldn't go out of his way to make sure the assistant super or the assistant project manager, he would say hi to him, but he would go out of his way to shake the hand, look at the eye of the superintendent. How you doing? How you doing, Chris? But forget, remember everyone else. And they noticed it. That's noted big time because you want to be recognized by the boss. And I pulled him aside one day and said, you need to greet everyone. That's simple.
Yeah. That's that key of always know the waiter, always know the people that are cleaning your room and all of those things in a hotel.
The most important people in life.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I got a question for you here.
All right.
This is all building a better safety program and a better safety culture and all that good stuff here. You, with all your years of experience and knowledge and wisdom, what advice would you share with a first year apprentice or entry level PE that's walking the field, showing up at their first job site, and they come up to you and ask for advice? What would you tell them?
Probably the biggest advice in learning from my own experience is the more gray hair senior guys out there are more than willing to bend over backwards and help you out. They're amazing, but you have to be persistent. So my short story, very young in my career on a very large project, I don't know anything about building a building. I'm safety. But there was a trailer full of all these drawings and I would every day they'd be in front of the plan table looking at stuff, trying to figure out problems. And every day I'd behind their shoulder, I'm looking. And I remember the assistant super, get out of here, kid. He did that 3 times to me. And on the 4th time, he actually starts showing me stuff. To this day, we're best friends. It's being persistent. Part of that, I'm going to make sure you get brought into construction. Part of it is we're hard on each other, but you need to be there, persistent. And what's the expression in construction with getting on work on time, right? You come in early, you're on time. Yep. You come on time, you're late.
You're late.
You come in late, you're fired.
Yeah.
And the time, if work starts at 7, 6:30 to 7, come in the trailer early, have a cup of coffee and talk to the superintendent is worth all the waiting. It's the best. Yeah. That's where you're going to learn your craft.
Agreed.
That's great advice for anyone.
Yeah. Right.
Anyone that's new to anything. Take the time to ask questions and be persistent and have thick skin because you're going to get beat up.
Exactly.
Not physically, but Frank, that was fantastic, man. That's great. That's a good story to tell. And I want to thank you for taking the time to come and join us today. Unfortunately, we're getting to our end and I have a feeling we'll have you back on and be talking more and more about this and going from there. But thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. And for those listening, help us out here. Share this. Share it with people that are going to need to hear it. Give us a review. Let us know if you like it. Because if not, then Frank, you're not coming back. Sorry to hear it. Sorry to say it. But, you know.
I give it 2 thumbs up. I give it 2.
All right. There we go. You're good. You can come back now. But Frank, right. Thank you so much. Frank Baxter from CRP, Construction Risk Partners. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining the Building PA Podcast. To stay up to date, follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook and visit buildingpapodcast.com to subscribe to upcoming shows. Thanks for listening.